The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974, and underwriting our podcast for over 10 years. No, make that 15 years now. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we return to the February 2022 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month has been the annual Made in North Carolina Awards, and that's exactly what we're going to read about, or continue to read about today. Home and Garden, that's the category. Compass Woodworks Company in Salisbury. Where there's smoke. Early on, a woodworker in Rowan County learned to infuse his projects with a blend of art, science, and ingenuity. Then a chance request sparked the idea to add smoke and spirits to the mix. Gather round, my pretties. Oh, by the way, this is written by Drew Perry, one of my very favorite authors here in Our State magazine. Gather around, my pretties, and I'll tell you a story of magic and alchemy, of lightning in a bottle, of smoke in a cloche, or a dome, whatever you want to call it, says woodworker and cocktails smoker maker Brad Taylor. I want to call it a cloche, of course. It's fancier. If we're going to smoke a cocktail, let's not do it under a dome, right? Note, the infused grain, all-inclusive cocktail smoker, is, in fact, what it sounds like. This is a delivery system, a way of infusing spirits with actual wood smoke. It's cocktail overlapped with campfire, the Venn diagram to end all Venn diagrams. So anyway, my friend had these glass domes, Taylor says. His easy Carolina baritone now has me suspecting that fancy's not always the way to go. He called me up and said, "Can you make me a cocktail smoker?" Taylor's not much of a bourbon drinker himself, more of a beer guy. But sure he could. He was already making these gorgeous live-edge cutting boards and charcuterie boards and serving platters and memento boards with recipes burned into them. Exact likenesses, say, of your grandmother's handwriting, made from a photo of her actual recipe card. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Taylor took on his friend's challenge because he loves a puzzle. "Okay," he says. "The problem was the cocktail glass wouldn't fit under the dome, so we knew we'd have to recess a well into the board. Then there were all these other issues. The way a standard cocktail smoker works is with a dome, yes, but what you do is light a small fire of wood shavings, put the cocktail next to it, then use the covering dome to starve the flame. Smoke. The other common way is to somehow force smoke under a raised dome edge. Neither of these seemed a terribly elegant solution. So Taylor reinvented the whole thing. When I ask him how exactly it works, he gets cagey. There are patents pending. These are trade secrets, after all. No worry. My basic understanding of the internal combustion engine is that into one end of the car you put fuel, and out the other end comes go. Taylor's cocktail smoker works about the same way. He loads a few wood chips into the infuser. Apple, pecan, pick your potion, presses a magic button, and lights the flame. 2 seconds later, via sorcery and science and a spiraled length of copper tubing, there's smoke under that dome. The thing looks a little bit like a still, I say. Yeah, he says, smiling. I wanted something unique. I was thinking, how could I make it be one thing? Taylor has only been making them since July, and the one thing I can tell you for sure is that they're taking off. He made at least 100 by this past Christmas, working out of the garage at his house in, or rather on, High Rock Lake. Now he's thinking of opening a shop with a storefront. It'd be cool, he says, to be able to work from a place that's mine. He gets some of his wood from Carolina Urban Lumber Yard, which upcycles felled trees from Charlotte and the surrounding area. Each of those boards has history, and each customer who buys one knows precisely where their tree once stood. I have a poplar from Duke Mansion, Taylor says, and then runs a much longer list for me, a greatest hit of storm-felled trees of the Carolina Piedmont. He's always been conservation-minded, or has been at least since he majored in fisheries and wildlife at North Carolina State University. He likes number two common lumber the best, the stuff that most folks pass by, the stuff filled with cracks and knots. Wormholes throw a lot of cool character into there, Taylor tells me, and the ugliest boards make the prettiest smokers. I've used walnut for my aunt's property. I've used sycamore and black gum. A lot of people won't use those. Taylor taught middle school science for 19 years. Now he teaches shop at South Rowan High School, showing kids how to take care with the raw materials in front of them. It was his dad, two dads, really, his dad and stepdad, who taught him. Even if it was shelves or tables, he says, my dad found a way to turn it into art. His stepdad, a role model in his life, is just an awesome guy who taught me a ton inside the shop. He made decoys, everything you can think of. Whatever you needed made out of wood, he could make it. When Taylor was young, he needed a cutting board. His stepdad took him out to the shop, ran a piece of white oak through a planer, and that was it. Taylor was hooked. You could make what you needed or what somebody else needed, and you could make it beautiful. The Compass Woodworks company brand, burned into everything Taylor makes, is an homage to a brand his stepdad burned into everything he made. Even if cocktails aren't your thing, have a look at these smokers. Live edges, imperfections, and checks filled with various epoxies, aged copper twisted in through midair. Taylor has made smokers with custom colors and a double smoker with two different colors for somebody whose sons went to two different colleges. Not Carolina and Duke, alas. But then, not all of his customers hail from North Carolina. These things shine. Even before the smoke fills the dome, they seem alive. There's a quote commonly attributed to Emerson that features heavily in Taylor's life. It's one that he prints on a card and comes with every Compass Woodworks project. Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Let me suggest, then, one kind of trail. A kid is born in Asheville and spends most of his life around Salisbury. He majors in outside, for lack of a better umbrella term, at NC State. He lands jobs teaching middle school science, then high school shop. He has these two men in his life who show him how he might choose and plane a piece of lumber and show him why he might, too. Lightning strikes a tree in Charlotte. A friend has these cloches, has a taste for wood smoke. Taylor solves a host of riddles at once. Somebody puts a cube of ice in a glass, pours a little something over the top of that, puts it down in a well that might well have been somebody's favorite colors in epoxy. Somebody else says, cheers. Somebody pushes a button, fills the dome, covering a Manhattan with smoke. Somebody says, sir, you win a prize. I can't keep up, Taylor tells me, about the number of orders coming in. But he sounds happy out there in his shop on High Rock Lake. He sounds happy and busy, and maybe he's found smoke where there was fire. To learn more about Compass Woodworks Company, visit CompassWoodworksCo.com. There's a picture here of Taylor. It says, Taylor crafts each component of his cocktail smokers with care. Filling lengths of copper tubing with salt lets him bend them into perfect spirals. He estimates that his smokers are in 25 states now. He sent his cutting boards to all 50. So he has a cutting board in front of him. It has a big circle cut out where the glass drops in, and then it has another little rim around there where the cloche, the cover, can go on. And what he's doing is he's fitting a piece of copper tubing into the cutting board. Now, we don't exactly know how that connects up to what's on the corner of the cutting board, because it isn't clear what's there. There's a close-up of this, probably the same, or maybe a different one, on the main page. And you see, and now here we see, on the upper right, something looks like a trap door. Maybe it's metal, and then there's a hole there. And then to the left of that, it starts this copper tubing. It comes out of the board, so we don't know what happens when it goes inside the board. And then it goes through a bunch of curlicues, and we talked about how he made that. And then it goes down in the board, and then we can see that somehow he has managed to bend this tube through the board so that it's sticking out about a quarter of an inch into the area that the glass would be set down upon. And then on the main page, we see the same thing with the cloche, the cover, which, excuse me, looks like the sort of a glass cover you'd put over a cheese dish, perhaps, just to keep the cheese fresh. He's lifted it up, and smoke is just pouring out of it, and residual smoke is in the glass with ice in it, interestingly enough, that's in the little holder and sunk down. And it said, after bread, Taylor's award-winning infused grain, all-inclusive cocktail smoker. This one, with hickory, with a copper patina, works its magic. Taylor lifts the glass dome to reveal a tumbler of bourbon, smoky as a campfire. This would be a complete surprise to me, except that my son gave me a cocktail smoker for Christmas. Doesn't look anything like this. It sits on top of the glass, and a little pocket holds down inside, and you put the wood chips in it. You blast the wood chips with a lighter, like a butane lighter that shoots out a significant amount of flame so that it gets all the way to the bottom. And then when it lights on fire, you put a wooden cover on that, and it's supposed to force the smoke down inside on top of the bourbon. As far as the taste, the jury is And now, style is the category for the Made in North Carolina Awards. Home State Made in Sanford. From scraps to fashion, a Lee County couple has turned a love of bags and a talent for upcycling old military gear into a career, written by Susan Stafford Kelly. Sure, most things are created out of need, an axe, an iron, an umbrella. But sometimes you just want something. Todd Childers wanted a hat, a baseball cap with a leather North Carolina patch flag just above the brim. Todd's wife, Ivy, had no more sewing experience than a brief fling with high school home ec, but she thought she might as well try to make one. Todd had an old hat, and he found some vegetable tanned leather, that is, leather tanned with non-toxic ingredients found in tree bark, leaves, fruits, and roots. In August 2018, Ivy cut that first small North Carolina flag patch, hand-painted it red, white, and blue, stamped an N star C on it, distressed it, and riveted the patch onto the hat. From old things come new, beloved things, and people wanted those patch hats. Repurposing something old and no longer used into something new and useful wasn't a foreign concept for the couple. Todd grew up in Hickory, where his family was in the antiques business. He and Ivy met while both worked for Walmart. They eventually left to open Vineland and Hickory, a home design and decor store, or decor if you like, in Sanford, where they make and restore country farm furniture. The store's name is a nod to Todd's hometown and the city in New Jersey where Ivy grew up. Among their flea market finds was an old industrial Singer sewing machine. And, well, I'm a bag lady, Ivy confesses. Traveling for Walmart, she'd carried every kind of bag you can imagine to match her outfits. That leap from creating a hat to creating a bag didn't seem far. And in April 2019, Ivy gamely put the old Singer to use with some upholstery leather just to get my bearings. As with any creative undertaking, plenty of trial and error was involved. We tried to foil burn the logo and ruin quite a few. That sizzle. Then I got on YouTube. Because the pair wanted full hides only from American tanneries, the internet was also invaluable in sourcing leather. Fortunately, the leather community online shares everything. Ivy says adopting the slogan Southern Charm with a Northern Attitude as a nod to their respective roots, Ivy and Todd launched the Brick and Mortar Home State Made in Sanford the day before the non-essential businesses had to close due to the pandemic in March of 2020. Leather smells like comfort. You know that aroma of staples and autumn and age, of flight jackets and wallets, harnesses and books. That scent is pervasive at Home State Made. Home, as well, to the winner of Our State Magazine's Made in North Carolina Award in the style category, the Traveling Soldier Bag. The Traveling Soldier Bag, a standout in this high-ceiling, concrete-floored room with handbags, totes, duffels, and a myriad of other handmade leather goods, was inspired by Ivy's husband and father-in-law, who both served in the Army. Every piece and part of this unisex backpack, side pocket, computer divider, front zipper pocket, key clip, drawstring top with flap and buckle, and shoulder straps, is measured, cut, stretched, and riveted right here in front of any visitor to Home State Made. Each one takes 3 days to assemble, and each one is wholly unique. But for the leather itself, which might be distressed, embossed, or smooth, depending on the client's preference, the other elements of the Traveling Soldier Bag are repurposed military fabric. One features pieces of an old Army cot and duffel, complete with inscrutable official lettering. Another bears a front made from a U.S. Navy blanket discovered at the annual Liberty Antiques Festival. The combinations are endless, dependent only on the customer's wishes, Ivy's imagination, and the flea markets, military supply stores, and local ex-military folks who bring in their used equipment and apparel. Sturdy but supple, beautiful yet practical, the bag is a handsome, personal, custom-made piece of work meant to last a lifetime and beyond. A long way from her corporate career today, Ivy's in a T-shirt and jeans, surrounded by the tools of her self-taught trade, an anvil for hammering rivets, a burner for logo patches, brass letters for monogram prints, a rotary punch, die punch, and templates. Vintage library card catalog drawers contain cinches, D-rings, and buckles, the hardware of leatherware. Shelves hold bolts of leather, especially navy or deep green, but mostly the familiar earth-tone hues in varying weights, finishes, and thicknesses. Thicker, stiffer leathers become notebook covers. Thinner, more flexible leathers can become pillows or pockets. Here, too, are heaps of leather scraps because nothing goes unused. An irregular cast-off becomes a cover for the searing hot handle of a cast-iron skillet. Tiny leather dots punched out for washers or bucket holes become earrings. Oh, and those? Those are cow tags. After a day of picking at an antiques store on a dairy farm, Todd returned with a box of numbered petal pendants that had once dangled on chains around cows' necks to identify them. These cow tags range from small arrowhead shapes to simple staples in brass, tin, and copper, and one is fastened to every bag that Home State Made creates. People have tried to buy outright the old metal pendants, which go for $30 each at flea markets, but Ivy can't bear to part with them. Neither can she bring herself to take apart the old Army stretcher, complete with metal stirrups that propped decoratively against a metal Army clothes locker for Home State Made's line of military bags. Instead, she'll return to the workroom's creative chaos of web straps, zippers, and even the frayed and faded seams of a Vietnam War-era parachute bag used to airdrop supplies. The thick felt that protected the supplies is transformed into a protective padding inside the traveling soldier bag. Speaking of the one-of-a-kind nature of every bag that Homestake Made creates, the buy now or cry later sign painted on the wall is mighty motivating. My preservation passionate mother-in-law, who grew up going to dances at Fort Bragg, would have loved a traveling soldier bag to haul her supplies while she gave tours of historic buildings around Fayetteville. Maybe I could convince my husband to swap his broken-down briefcase for a roomy Homestake Made messenger bag, but instead, I'll take this hair-on-hide crossbody, for which Ivy measures a shoulder strap to the perfect length while I'm standing in the store. Not because I need it, but because, like Todd and that leather patch hat at the heart of Homestake Made's origin story, I just want it. Homestake Made is on Carbondon Road in Sanford. Website is homestakemade.com. Well, not everybody can be a winner, and so the Made in North Carolina Awards has runner-ups, and they have little brief articles about each one of them. So as long as the music doesn't take me away here, I will read about them to you. Home of the Handmade, the 11 honorable mentions that our Made in North Carolina Awards impressed our judge and us with their incredible creativity, craftsmanship, and stories showcasing the best that North Carolina has to offer. Written by Tamiya Anderson, T-A-M-I-Y-A, Tamiya, I guess it is, Anderson. J-Max Morganton, Micah Made. When Janice McDonald took her grandson panning for minerals at the Spruce Pine Mining District during the summer vacation, the multimedia artist was drawn to mica, the glass-like material that North Carolinians have mined for more than a century. After the trip, I went back in search of mica scraps, she says, scanning for crystals hidden among mud-covered pebbles in a black, rusty pan, took gentle hands and a careful eye, but the mineral was just so impressive, and I was able to bring a bucketful back home, she says. Back in Morganton, she formed a 6-foot piece of screen wire into the shape of a mountain trout and used a stretchy adhesive to apply the mica. Mica is an important natural resource for the state, she says. To me, this piece reflects our history. Long website. SouthernHighlandGuild.org/member/Janice McDonald. Deliving Soapery, Wake Forest, Tidal Wave Soap Bars. For Jennifer Evarts, there is a special kind of beauty that can be only found in the North Carolina coast. Hoping to capture the beach experience in soap, the owner of The Living Soapery combined the scents of lemongrass, seaweed, and sea salt with rainwater that she collected. The beach is so central to life in North Carolina, Averitt says. We love being able to share that experience with people through our soap, and doing so in a sustainable way. The soap's natural ingredients, including coconut oil, shea butter, and castor oil, create a multi-sensory experience from its scent to its smooth texture and two-toned blue swirls speckled with sand. The feeling you get with each use, Evart says, is like closing your eyes and being on an actual beach. They are at the Living Soapery, ending in I-E, .com. Barn Wood Furniture by Maul and Wedge Henderson. A single leaf. Whenever Kenneth Fuller notices a barn in bad shape, he pulls over and stops his truck. In what others might think of as valueless, he sees an opportunity to marry past and present. When I see an old barn, I think about its history, how old it is, how hard somebody worked on it back in the day to construct it, and how useful it was to the family, he says. The North Carolina native uses reclaimed wood from old barns in the Henderson area to make tables, mantels, cabinets, and more for his shop. His framed piece called A Single Leaf features a tobacco leaf made from vintage barn roof tin and a frame made from tobacco sticks. For Fuller, each piece he makes is symbolic of the tobacco community where he grew up during the late 1960s. The pieces I make bring memories of growing up on a farm, he says, and that's a true piece of history worth preserving. They're on Tolly Weldon Road in Henderson, Etsy.com/barnwoodblessed. It's a pretty picture on the next page. It's an ad for Currituck Outer Banks. There are four horses walking along the beach, the ocean behind them, and a little pool of water on the inside of them, and that beautifully reflects all of their bodies against a cloudy sky. It's a gorgeous picture. These are the wild horses that are up there in Corolla, and it says, legends get things lined up around this time of the year. You can visit them online at CorollaNC.com. And now we come to the Oak and Grist Distilling Company in Black Mountain, 3-year single malt whiskey. In an industrial warehouse in Black Mountain, Oak and Grist ages its single malt whiskey in used bourbon bottles. The aged, bourbon barrels. I was going to say, who cares if it's a bottle? A barrel makes a big difference. The aged barrel is going to dictate the Goldberg. There's a multitude of different brewing techniques, but this one will give us a sweeter and lighter profile. In 2015, Goldberg was inspired to create an American single malt whiskey after visiting his mentor, also the father of his business partner, in Scotland. To bring his vision to life, he took an Appalachian-inspired approach to a Scottish method. The distillery brews, ferments, and distills the single malt using locally grown and malted barley. After aging it for at least 3 years, the whiskey's flavor is smooth with subtle notes of toasted nuts, cocoa, and stone fruit. The single malt allows us to create a tailored profile flavor for the area that we exist in, Goldberg says, and to build a stronger connection between producer, consumer, and place. They're in Grovestone Road in Black Mountain, oakandgrist.com. Well, I can't get through the next one in time, so now I'll just say here is another advertisement. This is for Reckoning Resilience at the North Carolina. It says North Carolina Art Now, January 13th through July 10th at the Nasher Museum at Duke University. I was just there this past week mentoring some students on how to audio describe art. Maybe you'll hear those audio descriptions someday. If you want to learn more about the museum, it's nasher.duke.edu/R&R. Literally R&R. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of Our State Magazine. Hope you enjoyed it. You'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, call us, studios, please, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.